Let's bow our heads in prayer briefly. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as thy word is now opened to all of us here this evening, we pray, Father, it might please thee, Lord, to help in that and to bless the preaching of the Scriptures to our hearts and to our souls. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for what thou art, Lord, to all of thy people, as it was many years ago to David. And Father, we pray that we may be reminded this evening of what thou art to us, as our God and as our Creator and as our Saviour and Redeemer. O Lord, encourage us, Father, by these things tonight, we pray thee, and speak to every heart and every soul in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, as I mentioned just a little earlier this evening, I want to preach to you this evening from a couple of verses from 2 Samuel, chapter 22, and they are verses 2 and 3. And you also have very similar words in that psalm that I read the second half of, Psalm 18. Similar words in the second verse of that psalm. Now in both, whether it be in the psalm or whether in the second book of Samuel here, we have David, the psalmist David, King David, the king of Israel, here speaking or perhaps even singing, praying to the Lord. Some of the words of this inspired psalm or song of his, in the day we're told that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of one of the chief of his enemies, and that was the first king of Israel, which was King Saul. So if we're going to set this song or psalm in 2 Samuel 22 and in Psalm 18 in the context of David's life, it is probably when David was close or towards the end of his days, when he was an older man, when he was an older believer, an older king in his reign, that he wrote it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in his old age. There's something worth bearing in mind as we look at what he has to say here, what God had been to him. So what does he say in these verses? Obviously we can't look at the whole of this song, the whole of this psalm, it's too long, as here and in the book of Psalms. We can just look at these two verses and concentrate on them this evening, focus on them this evening. So David said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence." So, dear friends, I want us then just to look at these two verses tonight from 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 and 3, right at the beginning of this song or psalm of David. We have him here speaking or praying to the Lord, or perhaps even singing to the Lord, as I said, about what the Lord meant to him or what the Lord was to him. And as I say, because he's perhaps composing or writing this psalm later on in his life, later on in his reign, he's probably thinking not only of what God was to him at that time, but rather he's reflecting about what God had been to him through most of his life, and the time that he'd become a believer and the time that he'd become king of Israel, when he'd been anointed and had suffered at the hand of many enemies, especially Saul, and thereafter through the whole of his reign. Saying here what God was to him, what God meant to him, what God had been to him as his covenant God, as his covenant Lord. And not only what God had been to him, what he was to him in the present, what God was going to be to him throughout the rest of his life. Whatever other struggles and trials and tribulations were left to him until he came right to the end of his life and reign. He says, "The Lord is," what is he? "He's my rock and my fortress, my deliverer. the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence. And this way of speaking that he has here, that God is this to him or God is that to him. And we're thinking of Jehovah, obviously, and we may be thinking of God in general. We can also understand that he is also thinking especially of Christ here, Jehovah Jesus, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and what he was, what he had been to him, what he was to him, what he was going to be also in the future. He writes like that not only here in 2 Samuel 22, Psalm 18, also if you go through the Psalms, you know, he's always saying, God is this to me, God is that to me. You know, not only for his own benefit, but also for the benefit of his people and for the benefit of those who are going to come, who are going to believe on the Lord in the future. Because what God was to David and to his people then, he is to all of his people in whatever time, even to the very end of the world. So he's these things not only to him, but also to us. So he writes like this in Psalm 23 and verse 1, doesn't he? He says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what God is like to me. And that's how he relates to me. That's how he behaves towards me. That's what he's like. That's how he treats me. He's like my shepherd. I shall not want. He'll provide for me. He'll protect me. He'll guide me. Psalm 27 verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then Psalm 46 and verse 1, all David's Psalms, I think. God, not the Lord, that God is our refuge. His and his people's refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's a lovely, it's an inspired way of writing here. What God not only meant to him, what God was to him as his God, as his maker, but particularly as his saviour and redeemer, and one who was in covenant with him, what God was to him. As we're going to see tonight, he was very much his protector. He was his God, he was his father. As we heard this morning, David was somebody who was spiritually adopted. God was his father, he was one of his children. God was one who would guide him, God was one who would protect him, would provide for him, but God would also protect him. And this tonight is all about protection and the ways in which God protects his people. So, is the Lord these things to you? What is God to you? What is the Lord to you? Well, my dear friends, if you are just like David, you may not be a psalmist or a great hymn writer. You may not be a king and a soldier as David was. But if you are a believer like him, with like precious faith with him, those things that God was to David, he is exactly the same to you, both now and also forever. What David does, he gives us a little list here, as he does in Psalm 18. What God was to him. And they're lovely things, all to do with protection and the way in which God protects his people. He says that God was his rock. God was his fortress. God was his deliverer. God was his shield or his buckler. He is the horn of his salvation, his high tower, his refuge, and also his saviour. I'm not going to deal with all of those this evening, there's too many. But I'd like to deal with some of them at least. The first description that he has of what God was to him is this, that God was his rock. And he says this not only here, but he says this throughout the song, throughout the psalm, that he describes God as his rock. But in all the other places, he uses a different Hebrew word to what he uses here in this particular verse, in verse 2. In all the other places, it is referring to God being his strength, God being his might, God being his power. But he uses a different Hebrew word here. The Hebrew word he uses here is selah. And it's not referring to God being his strength, as it were. But the word here is used for a cliff from its elevation. So if you can imagine a cliff, And it is a cliff which is large, and immovable, and from which anyone thrown down would be killed, but in which also there might be caverns and caves. And this is a metaphor. Indeed, these are all metaphors, aren't they? A metaphor as God, as a refuge, as a shelter, and as a safety. And when you think of David's life, so very often when he was chased by King Saul and by King Saul's men, and they were seeking to put David to death after he'd been anointed king, where did David very often hide? Well, very often he hid in the clefts of the rocks. Or he hid in the caves, didn't he? In various caves from Saul. And they were like a shelter and a protection to him. Think of a cave like the Cave of Adullam. And surely I think what he is saying here is this. This is what God is like to me. He is like, not so much that he is like a cliff, but he's like a cave. He's like a cavern. And perhaps he kind of thought about this when he was in somewhere like the Cave of Adullam. That God is all round about me. God surrounds me. And God protects me on every side from my enemies. And he even comes between me and my enemies to protect me from them. That he is there always. He protects me from my enemies. And he does the same for us. John Gill says this in his commentary on this part of this verse. About the Lord, he says, to whom the saints have recourse, speaking about the Lord here, for shelter and safety. And so are we safe from all enemies and from all danger. He says, Christ is called a rock on this account, on this and other accounts. So this is what God was to David. He was his rock. He was like a cave to him. They say very often he was hiding from Saul and from Saul's men in the Cave of Adullam and in other caves. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 25. We read there, Saul also and his men went to seek him, went to seek David, to seek him to kill him. And they told David, they warned him, they gave him the heads up. Wherefore he came down into a rock. There it is, he came down into a rock. Either into the clefts of a rock, to be concealed, to be hidden, or into a cave, to be sheltered there, and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. So he says, God is like that to me. He kind of protects me, he's all round about me, and he conceals me sometimes, and hides me from mine enemies, and comes between me and them. And my dear friends, this is what God is to you and to me. And that is why, my dear friends, we can feel absolutely spiritually safe and secure tonight. Because God is not only David's rock then, he is our rock. And what a rock is our rock. The Lord is our rock. He's like our cave, he's like our cavern that we can run to, that we can hide in, that we can be concealed in from our enemies sometimes. We can be safe in him. And he is even one who will sometimes put himself between us and our enemies. And he will keep us sheltered. He will be a refuge for us. See, sometimes do that for you. He puts himself, he places himself, he presences himself between you and your enemy, Satan and his forces and the world. He does that. He's all around about us. He hides us, and sometimes he really does defend us. He stands up for us, and he protects us, and he sends his angels sometimes to do exactly the same. That's his first description of the Lord, that God was his rock. It's a lovely thing that, isn't it? Just the very sound of that should strengthen us, should hearten us. God is our rock upon whom we stand. God is our rock behind whom we shelter, and God is the rock into whom we can flee when we're being attacked and assaulted by the enemy. But then he said, secondly, God was not only his rock, but God was also his fortress. And very often in whenever you have this description of a rock, sometimes fortress is also used. They're used together because it can be a fortress upon a rock. But what does he here mean by a fortress? Well, he means here, David, of course, was a military man. For David was not only a man who was often out and about, and he knew about rocks and caves and so on. He was a military man, so he knew about fortresses. He's thinking here about what used to be called a bulwark, which we don't very often call it today. It's an old word. But it's like a castle on a mountain. So young people here, you can kind of think about something like Edinburgh Castle, built on that volcanic plug, and a castle on the top. David's thinking about something like that, a fortification on a mountain. The actual fortification safe, because of where it is, on top of the mountain, but actually being in the fortification, which gives double security and double safety. He's thinking of a garrison, or he's thinking of a stronghold. And he says, that's what God is like to me. I think it's the same kind of idea here. It's like the first was like a cave. He sees himself, that God is kind of all round about him, like a fortress, like a garrison, like a stronghold, like a castle on the mountain. He's all round about him, and he is keeping him safe from his enemies, from Saul, and from those who had chased him throughout all of his life. And not only, of course, his enemies amongst Israel, amongst the Jews, but his enemies amongst the other nations as well. God was just protecting him. Very often put in himself, as it were, kind of God's power round about him, kind of acting as a protection against his enemies and keeping David safe at all times. And God is like that to us. And a commentator says, so the saints are kept by the power of God, as in a garrison. So you imagine a kind of soldier in a garrison on top of a mountain, they are safe. And my dear friends, God is that fortress. He's our spiritual fortress. He is our garrison. And we are in him, and we are precious to him. And he will keep us safe. His power will surround us. There's a verse in the Old Testament about the kind of the fire of God all around his people, and the glory of God in the midst of them. God is all round about us, the hymnist says, and can we be dismayed? He's the omnipresent God. He is there. He's a fortress and a garrison surrounding us. And David repeats this in many places. He delights to mention this again and again. Psalm 31 verse 3, for thou, Lord, art my rock. They're like my cave, and you're like my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And again, my dear friends, don't leave this on the sacred page. This is for you. As you go out this evening, as you go out into the world, as you go out into this week, make sure that God is this to you. Apply this to yourself. He is your rock. He's all round about you. He is your fortress. And he will keep you safe and secure. You'll never lose your salvation. And also he can protect us from our enemies. He can protect us from Satan and all of his fiery darts and all of the temptations that he sometimes throws at us. God can keep us by his mighty power. So is he your fortress, your castle on a mountain, garrison, stronghold? Does he sometimes put himself between you and your enemy? He does that. He's a faithful friend. He's a sovereign protector, unseen, yet forever at hand. But then thirdly, he describes the Lord here, his Lord, as not only as his rock and his fortress, but also as his great and his mighty deliverer. And again, the word here has a very interesting meaning. And it means one who provided him so very often with a means of escape or a way to slip away altogether. God was his deliverer in that sense. And again, you think about the life of David and how many times he gave Saul the slip and Saul's men the slip once and again. You think of someone like Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, how many times he gave his enemies the slip when he was let down out of a window. in a basket, and he got away from the Jews then, and also Gentiles and the Greeks so very often. And our Lord Jesus Christ, how many times his Father delivered him? He gave him a means of escape, or allowed him to slip away altogether. And David says, Lord, you're my deliverer in that sense. Sometimes you kind of come between me and my enemies, and you protect me like that. But sometimes you give me a way of escape. You let me slip away from them altogether. God can do that too. He is a mighty deliverer. We know he's a mighty deliverer. He's a mighty redeemer and saviour. He's delivered us from our sins. One day, my dear friends, he's going to deliver us out of this present evil world. It's nothing for him to deliver us from those who hurt us and from those who sometimes persecute us. He delivers out of all afflictions and from all temptations and out of the hands of all enemies. Not only David who had enemies then, we have them today. Satan is against us. He will oppose and he will attack and he will accuse us. But God is our deliverer. He can help us escape him, and he can help us to give him the slip. Listen to David in Psalm 18, 43 and 48. Thou hast delivered me. He mentions it there. From the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. Very, we're thinking of not only the words of David there, but those are messianic words, aren't they? A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Later, he delivers me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. It's no wonder, my dear friends, that so very often David, in spite of the fact that he was a military man, in spite of the fact he went into so many battles, he fought so many different wars and warfare against some very formidable foes indeed, that he went confident and bravely into those fights, not fearing, you know, the arrow whistling around, not fearing the sword, not fearing the spear, because God was his rock, God was his fortress, and God was his deliverer, who could cause him to escape, slip away from all these things. And he's our deliverer. What a great deliverer he is. And he sometimes provides us with a means of escape, or a means of slipping away from our enemy. And of course, with Satan, we must resist Satan. But sometimes he just gives us a lovely way of escape, because he loves his people. He loves you. He loves his dear people. They are his children after all. They are those whom he's adopted into his family, as we heard this morning. That's one way he helps us with our enemies. Sometimes he helps us to escape from them. Then fourthly here, David describes God as his shield. Which is a very common description of God in the scriptures. Did Abram say that God was his shield and his exceeding great reward? And David says here, Lord, you are my shield. But the shield that he's referring to here is not the buckler or the target, which we sometimes read about in the Old Testament, which was bigger. This is a smaller shield and a lighter shield, but a shield that was anointed, whether it was made of brass or whether it was made of hide, to not only to preserve them, but to make weapons easily glance off from them. And again, it's a metaphor. These are all metaphors and figures. A metaphor of God as a protector, sometimes used of princes and chiefs, protecting by their valour. He says, Lord, you're just like this kind of shield to me, a small and light shield. Of course, again, David would know about this. He not only knew fortresses, he knew about shields. Taking a shield like this into the battle, and when the blow started coming, when the sword started to come, and when the spear started to come, and the arrows were flying around, that shield would come in very handy indeed. Because sometimes it would take the blow altogether. Or sometimes the blow would glance off, and he would be protected. God is this to us. He is our shield and our exceeding great reward. David says in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 36, Psalm 18 verse 35, thou hast given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. God was his shield and his deliverer. God is our shield. And he defends us, and he preserves us, and he protects us from all of our enemies. And sometimes, as I say, sometimes he can take all of the blow away when we're under attack. Sometimes what he does, he can douse it just like a shield will douse the fiery darts of the enemy, like we have in Ephesians 6. He can douse it. Sometimes he can just take the edge of it away and the power of it away. And he can protect his people's hearts and souls in that way. He can prepare them for it, for what is coming. And also he can heal them from it as well. We have a mighty defender. We have a mighty protector. We have the God of David, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is your shield this week. Because, trust me, my dear friends, this week, every single one of us, we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. You're going to come under attack. We do every single week. Every one of us as Christians and Christian officers, Christian families, and so on, you're going to come under attack. Satan's going to come at you again and again. Remember your shield. Remember the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Remember, God himself is like a shield. And he can protect you. He can take the blow. Cause it just to be a glancing blow. He can douse it. So it's not fatal. It's not fatal to us. It may bruise us, but it won't kill us. It won't altogether destroy us, which is what Satan wants. So it's all that to him. He was a shield to him. And notice, fifthly and penultimately, that God, and perhaps most interestingly of all, that he was the horn of his salvation. Lovely thing this is. The horn of his deliverance. And the horn here that he's thinking of is like the horn of an animal. The horns of a bull, the horns of an ox, or the horns of a ram. It's a metaphor, comes up, doesn't it, a lot in Daniel, in Daniel's visions. It is the metaphor as the symbol of might, power or strength. The image being drawn from the bull and other animals which push with their horns. And Gill says this in his commentary. The Lord destroys, pushes and scatters his people's enemies and saves them. It is a metaphor taken from horned beasts. And he says, so Christ, the mighty and able Saviour, is called. And he's called that. We'll see this a little bit later on. Luke chapter 1, I think it's verse 59. He's the horn of our salvation. Christ is the horn. And to David, the Lord was the horn of his salvation. Because sometimes he didn't put himself in the way of his enemies. Sometimes he didn't give him the slip from his enemies. What God can sometimes do is this. He can push enemies away. He can scatter them. He's the God who always scattered his people's enemies in the days of the Old Testament. And my dear friends, very often he can scatter our enemies from us. Scatter Satan and his forces from us when they come and besiege us. So otherwise in this chapter we hear about the shield of thy salvation, the rock of my salvation, the tower of my salvation. But here God is the horn of his salvation. Because God was very jealous over David, loved David. He was a man after his own heart. So God was going to defend David, God was going to protect him, as he did all of his kings and his prophets and his priests. And would be to him the horn of his salvation. And he would push his enemies away. Dangerous thing to be an enemy of someone like David, a man after God's own heart. And he's this to you, my dear friends, tonight. He's the horn of yours. He can deal with Satan like this. You've got to resist him. Sometimes the Lord comes along and he pushes him away because he's been coming too close to you, too close at hand, too dangerous, too threatening. Threatening you, threatening what you do. What does he do? He pushes him away. What is it for God to do that? He's God Almighty. He's the not only the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, he's the omnipotent God. Satan is a created being. And he allows him sometimes to encroach. My dear friends, very often God pushes him away. He drives him away. He lifts up a standard against him. And this is your Lord, who loves you and will protect you in all of these kind of different ways. God has many arrows to his quiver when it comes to defending his people. Well, finally, before we close, he describes him as his high tower. God is now his high place, affording refuge and security. Commentator says, such is the name of the Lord, where the righteous run and are safe, and where they are above and out of reach of every enemy. So it's a different way, isn't it? In Isaiah 33 and verse 16, we read this: he shall dwell on high. That is the Lord's people. He can cause them sometimes to dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. God is a high tower to his people, sometimes in kind of different ways, perhaps in their spiritual experience, or just in various providences. He can put them above and beyond the reach of their enemies, so they cannot touch them. They're absolutely safe, or just cause them to redraw near to him, that they might draw near to him, be under the shadow of his wings in the secret place of the Almighty, be so close to him that really they feel absolutely safe and secure. It's a safe thing to be near to God, safe thing to be near to the shepherd. If you're near the shepherd, you don't need to fear the wolves. His rod and his staff will comfort you. Sometimes God can do that. He can put you out of reach in your mind, in your spiritual experience, or just in your everyday life. He can put you above or beyond. One day, my dear friends, we're going to be far above our enemies. They're going to be shut out, and we're going to be shut in with him and with the angels of heaven and with the fully redeemed. And therefore, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fear, my dear friends. God will set us up on high. He can put us out of reach of those who oppose us. So God was all this to David. We saw at the beginning of the message so much more as well. His shepherd, his light, his salvation, his strength, his refuge. My dear friend, if you have God tonight, you've got everything you need. You've got everything that you need for life. You've got everything you need for the battle. You've got everything you need for the warfare. Everything you need to be a Christian soldier. Everything that you need to live the Christian. Everything you need to die, my dear friends. You have all in God. He is our all and in all. He is everything to us. And therefore, we need not fear anything. We can be at peace. We can be safe and secure. So being this to David, it made him love God. As he begins the psalm, how I love thee, O Lord, my strength. It made him love God and delight in God, because God was all these things to him in covenant grace. It made him feel safe and secure and strong from his enemies, Saul and the others, and when he was a king, from all the nations round about, because God was this to him. It made him praise him and sing to him, as we have this song and psalm. It made him want to serve him, and it made him want to trust in him. It had these lovely consequences and results in his life. He wanted to do all this because God was this to him, to love him, to praise him, to serve him, and to trust him. And as we think about these things, what God is to us, what we mean to him, and how jealous he is over us, and how protective he is, been as the apple of his eye. May it lead us, my dear friends, to love him more, serve him better, want to praise him, and trust in him all the more with all of our hearts, and just to have that sense of security as we go through this world. How dangerous it is, how frail and vulnerable we are of ourselves, but we have a very great God, a sovereign protector, unseen, yet forever at hand. And he'll be with you, a present help in time of trouble this week. His word declares it, he promises it. Amen.
Amen.